Good morning, Grace Church. It feels really strange sat here doing this to a camera and not seeing your lovely smiling faces, but hopefully we'll all be together again soon. I guess anniversaries naturally prompt us to reflect, don't they? It's really normal to think about all that's happened in the time that has passed since the last one. And I find sitting here on Mother's Day in 2021 particularly reflective doing this talk when I spoke on Mother's Day 6 years ago. And it feels crazy that last time I did this, I had a 5.5-month-old baby. And 6 years later, I've got a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 19-month-old. And I'm desperately hoping they don't interrupt my recording. Time really does fly. I say when you're having fun, it's not always fun, but it is fun too. Even though it feels like a lifetime ago now, I didn't always find the journey to motherhood that straightforward, and I'll mention some more of that a bit later. But I'm also aware that whether it was straightforward at the beginning or not, I am now a mum, and for that I feel really grateful and blessed. And on the whole, I do really enjoy having children. I was really fortunate. I had really straightforward pregnancies and labours. Even if Rudy, the baby, did decide to appear on his own before any midwives arrived. Quite what I would have thought had you told me that 6 years ago. I don't know. And whilst I have enjoyed them and they really have given me an easy ride, I wouldn't look at myself and think that I'm a natural mum or someone who is extremely maternal. But then what does that even mean? So many people I talk to seem to feel the same. And there were many times at the beginning when I just had a new baby when people would say, oh, are you really loving being a mum? And even since, I'll have people maybe catch a snapshot of us laughing or the children being really well behaved and sweet and will say to me, oh, I bet you really love it. You look like you really enjoy it. And maybe it's my tendency to overanalyse rather than just answer a question at face value. It's almost certainly my tendency to overanalyze, but I just don't know how to answer those sort of questions. You know, I didn't suffer with baby blues or even the very real, for some people, postnatal depression, but often it feels like such a just big question to be able to answer in such a simple way of just yes or no. I'm kind of paralysed by the need to be 100% honest whenever I answer questions. And frankly, I can't just say, oh yeah, I love it, or oh yeah, it's wonderful. Because being a mum a lot of the time just feels totally overwhelming, doesn't it? And let's be honest, with the year we've just had, it can be especially so. Simply being a human this last year, I think, feels overwhelming. I'm sure we've all been desperately craving some solitude and peace and quiet. And when you throw children into the mix, that desire to not be climbed all over and touched all the time is really strong. But Mother's Day can be a difficult day, can't it? There are a whole host of reasons why we can struggle with it. Maybe we have our mum with us, but our relationship is fractured. You don't speak, it's not the relationship you imagine that it could be, or even that it should be. And maybe it's been that way for as long as you can remember. And you've seen your friends with their mums and you've longed for that same kind of relationship. Or maybe you don't have your mum any longer. Your mum has passed away, and in amongst the daily pain you feel at this loss, Mother's Day is just a more acute reminder of the emptiness left in your life without her. Maybe you're sat here this morning and you would really love to be a mum, but sadly aren't. You've ridden that roller coaster of emotions of trying to get pregnant and being disappointed, and every Mother's Day card that you see, every advert on the television is a searingly painful reminder that you aren't a mum. Maybe you have been a mother, but aren't anymore, and regardless of the years that pass, that pain doesn't lessen. It may be that no one knows. No one knows this journey that you've been on, and you can sit there looking happy. And to onlookers, as if you've just yet to embark on that journey of motherhood. But you know that you are a mother already, but it was a journey cut painfully short. We could even be sat here this morning already a mother, looking the part, a trail of children behind us, and to all the people around us who see us on a school run, you look like you've got it nailed, but inside you feel like a wreck. You feel like you're always failing and getting it wrong, and those Hallmark verses in cards only serve to rub salt into the wound of the mess you feel like you're making. And then for so many, if not all of us, maybe we've got a great relationship with our mum, and she could even live just 5 minutes away. But this year, whether it's 5 minutes or 500 miles away, we've been separated. And as great as FaceTime conversations and family Zoom quizzes are, it's just not quite the same as a hug from your mum, is it? That physical contact. So what do we do with it? What do we do with this day that has been designated to celebrate mothers? Well, I guess we could put our walls up. We could pretend that it is not happening. We could avoid every sign of it from early March. I've found over the last few years that lots of companies are starting to realise the struggle that people have now. I don't know if you've had emails asking if you want to opt out of Mother's Day marketing. I know I have, which is a really kind touch. And I guess lockdown in some ways helps you to avoid all of those Mother's Day reminders. Being stuck in the house largely with shops closed, at least some of those things are taken away. But normally, it is pretty hard to avoid all of that advertising, isn't it? Maybe we could just act like we don't care, that it doesn't bother us. We can perfect our blasé, nonchalant, oh, I'd not even realised face when Mother's Day is mentioned. But pretending won't change things. It won't make the pain go away. The reality is that mothers are important. And I guess that's why our relationship with mothers and motherhood can throw up so many emotions, why it has such a power to hurt so much. But it can all feel a bit of a mess sometimes, can't it? And this thing that feels like it should be so straightforward, being a mother, being a child, surely it should come easy, surely it should just be natural. But like so many experiences in our world that we think should be one way, it so often isn't. So this Mother's Day 2021, this talk is an updated version of me, probably a far more tired and short-tempered and haggard looking version of me. And this talk is updated as a consequence. However, I might have changed, the world around us might have changed, and our, you know, which of those categories we fell into may be different this morning than it was 6 years ago. But the God that we know, the God that brings comfort to whatever our circumstances are, he hasn't changed, and that message hasn't changed either. Whether we are feeling like a failing mother, or whether our heart breaks daily because we're not a mother, the God of the Bible speaks words of comfort to us. Whether we hurt because the family that we have is fractured and broken, or whether we have a family that feels painfully incomplete, God whispers to us through that pain. In Isaiah, a book in the Bible, God says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I, God, comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion for the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I, God, will not forget you. God uses the picture of a mother to describe his love for us. Whether our earthly experiences of a mother are positive or not, just as a mother should be, so is God's love for you. In your pain, he will comfort you. He will not forget you. I mentioned earlier that the beginnings of my journey to becoming a mother wasn't straightforward, and certainly not as straightforward as you're led to believe. When you're an innocent schoolgirl, you know, frightened by teachers that you'll get pregnant if you just so much as look at a boy. And so early on in our journey in September 2013, after what felt like endless months of trying to get pregnant, I sadly had an early miscarriage. And as I've come to discover only since from talking to people, this is an experience that is shockingly surprising. Common experience, and a surprising number of women go through it, and of course men too. And I think one thing that has changed over the last 6 years is that people have become more open. Celebrities have used their platform, haven't they, to share when they've been going through that. And I think it's really brave, and I think it's really powerful and really helpful to show that people aren't alone in the pain that they're suffering. Because up until then, I don't think I'd ever really considered it. You just assume that things will go as you've planned, that you would decide to have a baby, and so you do, just like that. But in the midst of my pain, and pain that causes you to wonder why, to cry out and complain that life isn't fair, the Bible couldn't tell me why that had happened. It couldn't tell me if or when I would have a baby. But as I talked to God about how I felt, I was comforted as I was reminded that God cares that I was suffering. He's not indifferent to it, that he longs to comfort me. And above all, God too knows the pain that I was in, and even the pain and anguish of losing a child. This is before the creation of the world. God the Father has always been in a loving relationship with his Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's a relationship that is characterised by looking out and loving the others rather than looking in. And it's these three persons in loving relationship that make up the Trinity, the God that we worship, three persons united together in love. And Christians often talk about God being love. Maybe you've seen the yellow smiley face car stickers that say God is love. But it's this kind of love that they're referring to. Not simply that he is loving, but that this constant, eternal, inseparable, uncontainable, committed love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is what defines him. It's who he is. God is love. Imagine a family like that, where each member is always looking out for the needs of others, putting others first, fiercely committed, no fear of messing up, disappointing, or failing. I would love to think that 6 years ago, talking about this, that I would embody that in my family, and I think I so often fall short of that. But God doesn't. He is constantly committed to his family. In Galatians, a book in the New Testament, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Here we learn that God the Father, who has always been giving out lovingly, now gives us the ultimate, and he gives his Son. His Son, who has been enjoying the warmth and safety and security of this tri-unity, enters our world. And it says, born of a woman, just the same as each one of us. So many religions talk about the human race kind of clawing their way up to God, doing all that they can to prove themselves, to make themselves good enough. But here in this situation, Jesus comes down to us. He enters our mess. The world wasn't meant to be so messy, the mess that it so often feels. In the account of creation that the Bible gives us, it says that the world was good. And with us in it, not just good, but very good. But in a world filled with people who long for their own way, who have been drawn in by the notion of looking out for number one, it's like the key phrase, isn't it, now? In a world where people behave in a way quite the opposite from that selfless, outgoing, loving way that we just spoke of. ultimately people who aren't interested in the God who so lovingly created them. In a world like this, the goodness is so often hard to spot. And it's into this mess that God sends his Son. Into this mess Jesus steps. As the passage says, Jesus came with a purpose and is born under the law, subject to the same commandments as God's people. Whatever God expected from humans, he expected from Jesus too. The difference being, where humans were unable to keep those commandments, Jesus was perfectly able. All the worship and obedience, devotion, prayer, love and sacrifice that the Father demands, Jesus gives. God wants us to love him and obey, but our human obedience is so lacking. So the Son comes, born of a woman, to do in our place what we couldn't do. And in doing so, this passage says that he redeems us. Just as if you bought back a precious ring that had been pawned, Jesus pays our debt for a life of ignoring God and his goodness. Jesus buys us back. But he does it in the most costly way possible. The cost for him was his life. I mentioned earlier that God knew the pain I was in when I lost our first baby. He too knew the pain and anguish of losing a child. In speaking of the moment that Jesus died, a biography of his life found in the Bible records him saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? There may be no worse inner agony for us than the loss of a relationship that we desperately want or cherish. If a good friend turns around and criticises us and says they never want to see us again, well, that's painful. And then, of course, it's infinitely worse if it's someone we actually really quite like, even love, turns around and declares that all you ever thought about your relationship with them and the feelings that they have for you is a sham and they want nothing more to do with you. I'm wincing at the thought of it. But for a parent to lose a child, or a child their parent, to be separated from the one person in the world who knows you and loves you more than anyone, who is always on your side, that's incomparable, incomprehensible. But in that moment when Jesus was hanging on the cross, bleeding and in pain, he was cut off from his Father, the one whom he'd been in that most perfect, loving relationship with since before creation. In that moment, as his Son hung on a cross, giving his life for the world that he came to love and save, in that moment, the gulf separating Father and Son was so wide. God the Father knows the pain of losing a child, and Jesus knows the pain of losing a parent. Not only does God know our pain and long to comfort us in it, but more than that, he invites us into a family far greater than any we can imagine or long for. In dying for us, in paying our debt, Jesus brings us into this family. We are adopted, receiving the full right of sons. And this isn't some sexist, chauvinistic thing. Believe me, I would be the first to object. But the term sons is used because, whether we like it or not, in that culture, sons were treated with greater privilege. They're the ones who receive the inheritance. We don't receive any old adoption, but male or female, we are adopted as sons and receive the full rights as such. We receive the full inheritance of a son. As we're adopted into this family, bought by Jesus dying for us, God the Father has exactly the same love for us as he does for his Son Jesus. And more specifically, in fact, if you belong to Jesus, the Father looks on you and sees Jesus. He looks and sees you as his beloved child and says, "Behold, my son, my daughter, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Everything that belongs to Jesus now belongs to you, because you belong to Jesus. You have the Father's love, you have the Father's verdict of being just right. You have Jesus as your brother and the whole universe as your inheritance. The joyful message of the Christian good news is that God the Father will love the believer as he loves God the Son. Imagine that. being brought into that family relationship of love and unity that has existed for all eternity. Knowing that regardless of your circumstances, regardless of whether you feel like a mess, God loves you just as much, is just as pleased with you, just as committed to you as he is to Jesus, his son. Now that's a family to be part of, isn't it? But being part of God's family also means being part of his wider family, the church. And I don't just mean Grace Church or Truro Cathedral or the church down the road, but the church, all believers together. And I guess we've had a taste of that over lockdown. A kind of secret hidden joy has been the ability to tune into services that other churches have put on, to take advantage of all of the great talks that are out there, worship material out there. We're part of a huge family together. And we're told to rejoice with one another when there's cause for rejoicing, and to cry with one another when there's cause for mourning. And in this family, Jesus tells us that we're all somebody's mother, daughter, father, son, or brother. You may not have your own children yet, but you can still be a mother to people. We have had some lovely moments over lockdown of people dropping things round for our children, cookie kits to bake biscuits and things. You can still have that mothering relationship with people. And you may not have your own mother anymore. I still have my mum, she's fantastic, but whilst I was away at university and then living in Winchester, I had a really wonderful friend who was like a mother to me. We are one big family. And today, right now, whatever the cause of the pain that we might feel, whatever our feelings towards this one day in the year that is given over to celebrating motherhood, God wants to tell us that he knows that pain and he's felt it too. And he feels it again when he sees us suffer. And he longs to comfort us with a love that far outweighs any other. But on top of this, he wants to invite you to know the real love, comfort and liberation of being known and loved by him. He knows our deepest, darkest secrets. He knows the decisions we've made that we're ashamed of, and he knows the gut-wrenching pain we feel. He knows that sometimes we blame ourselves, but in spite of all this, when we come to him, he just sees his child who he loves. He loves you and is pleased with you. So as we consider what it means to be part of our own immediate families, with our mothers or without our mothers, with our children or without our children, let's remember the God who loves us, who knows our pain, and the family he's invited us into. And as one family of Grace Church, whether online or in person, let's remember the God who loves us. This family is better than anything we could dream of. And better or worse, celebrating today, this day for mothers, I want to share a poem that I shared last time. And it feels like a joy to be doing this, knowing the conversations I had last time and knowing how God has answered prayers, but also seeing how he has drawn close to people, even when those prayers may not feel answered. This poem is called The Spectrum of Mothering by Amy Young. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster mums, mentor mums, and spiritual mums, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with their children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who have aborted children, we remember them and you on this day. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed for it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not meant to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate you this Mother's Day. We walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you. Lord, thank you so much for your commitment to us, your generosity, for the love that you lavish on us, for inviting us into that loving relationship with you and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you died to draw us into it. Lord, I lift all the people mentioned in that poem to you. Would you meet them? Would they know that comfort? And Lord, I thank you for the blessings that you have richly bestowed over the last 6 years. And I remember before you the people who I had deeply painful conversations with 6 years ago, who now are enjoying their own children. And Lord, we pray for many more people in that position, that they would know your blessing and your comfort. Amen.